Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, good morning from Tucson to Massachusetts. How are you this morning, Bruce Frankel?
I'm great. How are you, Zara?
Terrific. In fact, for our listeners to know, this radio really gives an opportunity to create great relationships. Bruce and I have been partnering together for over a year now, and you know something? We've never met face-to-face, but I think this week, call out security in New England, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, we're going to try.
We're going to try and make that happen. Well, interesting topic for today, Bruce, because, of course, you and I both are the constant personification of recognizing education is something we've stepped back to tap on. I know you went and pursued and got a master's in poetry after you made a shift. And, of course, me, I've done it three or four times now with having gotten a doctorate in management here as late as 2007 as a returning student. So I think there's no greater circle of change than the role of education in people's lives. But, you know, at the same time, the circle of change that's happening now in higher ed as a result of the surge of, you know, when you and I were coming into the system, but now we're going to come in at it again, right?
Yeah, no, it's fascinating what's happening. It's really optimistic. I feel very hopeful about what's happening, and it's kind of exciting. Yes, I'm 62, so the boomer cohort, changed the way that we looked at colleges. Everyone wanted to go to college when we were graduating high school and got degrees in numbers that had never been seen before. And lo and behold, now 40 odd years later, mm-hmm. Boomers are returning to college in great numbers, in large part, frankly, because they got whacked by the recession. They've lost jobs. They've lost value to homes and finances and need to work longer or find new jobs, or because now they realize they're going to live longer than anyone ever could have expected and want to have good productive lives and give back to their communities. And so they're turning back to college to get retool their careers, to get recertified, and there are a number of great programs around that are blossoming to help them.
Well, and I think we should probably overlay that with online learning and institutions being now more amenable to returning students, or knowing that a portion of the students also work full time, that the innovation that's had to happen to open up the doors for greater accessibility, regardless of what age or stage you are in your life.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, we know that at Encore, which tries to help people find meaningful, purposeful second acts, as it were, mm-hmm. they've done some studies on this, and they were part of a movement or effort by the American Association of Community Colleges to create Encore colleges, and when they were looking at the initial efforts to do that, they noticed, of course, when they studied it, that boomers are different than traditional students in that, understandably, they want programs that are flexible mm-hmm. and practical. Mm-hmm. They don't want to waste time with mm-hmm. superfluous requirements at this point. They want opportunities for networking, and they want to be challenged and inspired, and they want to be connected directly to their communities very often. And that's what there's something called the Encore, the Plus 50 initiative for colleges that's sponsored by the American Association of Community Colleges, and that's what they're really trying to get colleges to do.
Yep. And I think, you know, the telling sign to realize is that, you know, some of the unemployment statistics right now, the rate for workers that are over 55, that's really shifted, hasn't it? More than if you don't look in the detail of the data, you don't understand to see what you see.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you know, we know that We're 78 million baby boomers who are reaching traditional retirement age, but you know, many people would have liked to, I think over 80% of boomers would like to continue working. But if you just looked at this, the unemployment rates as they're coming out now, we saw the unemployment for worker rate for workers age 55 and older actually fell to 6.2% in June from 6.5% in May. But if you look deeper and you drill a little deeper, what you see is that on average, it takes 55 weeks, that's over a year, for older workers to get a job and rehired. And that can be devastating, obviously, for families and people there, you know. And so one way that seems to be a successful route is for people to go back to school and get recertified mm-hmm. in something that's very specific, and boomers are looking for it, and colleges are anticipating this and beginning to change their curriculum, and there are in fact a number of colleges. I think Gateway in Phoenix was one that did this, which was they allowed industry that needed workers to come in and help design programs for older workers. So at Gateway, they looked at healthcare and they helped create a curriculum that got people certified quickly in what they needed, what the industry needed, and about 90% of the students who entered that program ended up getting jobs.
Yeah, and I think the other piece of this is to recognize when you deal with returning students, I'll use that word as opposed to older, right, that they bring a life experience with them. And while if your first career was in, you know, metal bending and manufacturing, that might not look like it translates directly into a healthcare position, but you know what? You've got life skills that involve working with teams, solving problems, so on and so forth, that younger folks just don't have in the runway. So some of these newer programs are recognizing how to accelerate through some of the priming courses because of recognizing life skills.
That's important. And again, with the Plus 50 initiative, what they've been trying to do, and they're trying to bring on, they've now named 11 champion colleges that will mentor, hopefully, and bring on 100 more colleges around the United States over the next 3 years. With what they're trying to do is to get them, one of the things that they do early on is assess the students coming in so that they can help them get life credit and therefore help them fast track through the system better and recognize and help them to assess for themselves what they're best at by looking at their experience with them. So they're helping to get mentors. One of the things that the Encore study initially showed was that older students coming in to programs really want mentors to help them figure out their path and streamline it for them. And that seems to help a great deal to have a mentor that helped them navigate the system.
I think there's another element here, too, and I do, of course, do a lot of coaching for people inside companies as well as career transitions. And certainly having a college degree of some sort many times is a credential that it's a requirement to even get your resume dipped out of the stack. But as I've worked with several people, very closely, by the way, to say, you realize you can go back now to several of these institutions. They will look favorably upon and be empathetic the fact that maybe you didn't get the chance to complete an associate's degree or go to the next level beyond a bachelor's, and lo and behold, look at rewiring the credits you've already earned, complement with them some new things they have in their curriculum, and perhaps, you know, go on a speed path really to get that credential, as well as have it kind of shift more in a direction that's relevant to the new career you want to go through. My husband did this, by the way. Years of work in engineering, manufacturing, and service came to a point in his life where he wanted to step into the reinvention mode, as you and I talk about, and realized he really wanted to now shift towards architecture. And with the help of the University of Hartford back in Connecticut, you know, within 18 months, he had a bachelor's degree that included an emphasis in architecture and got the life credit in the process.
That's great. And, you know, it's true. When I look through there, I've now read countless stories of people who are retooling, and some of the stories are heartbreaking if you were to stop at the first paragraph where, you know, a woman, a 51-year-old woman in Chicago who's spent her life, didn't have a high school degree, had quit high school, and but loved her job as a nurse's aide, and then after 18 years in one job, got laid off, and loses her house, loses her job. But she was able to get into one of these programs. They were able to help fast track her. And, you know, she's now got a not just a GED, but she's got a bachelor's mm-hmm. degree. She's got a job. She feels proud of herself in a way that she never did because she dropped out. So, you know, there's opportunity in all of this. And I think that for me, what's exciting in looking at the landscape is that the stigma that for whatever reason was once attached to the idea of returning to school has been obliterated, and people, you know, not only see the need, but they feel empowered to do this. They, it's not just a, whereas once upon a time, people went back to college, mostly for enrichment. They're doing that now in addition to getting education that has a practical value for them.
Yes, in fact, a cute aside back to my husband's story. I'll never forget the day when our daughter, at the time she was, I think, 3 and my son was 6, she looked at Ted and she says, "Now, Daddy, I know you went to college one other time. Didn't you get it the first time?" And we launched into that whole conversation about lifelong learning and continuing education, to which my son, he puts his hand up and he says, "You mean to tell me I got more than 12 years to do this? I'm out of here." You know, and he left the dinner table. We said, well, I guess maybe that was a little premature of a conversation. Well, Bruce, of course, what this speaks of is not just change for those of us wanting to be students, but also changes that are going on inside higher education. And so for our listeners who are instructors or who are perhaps, you know, individuals looking to transition out of an industry-based job or nonprofit job and be part of a teaching revolution, man, the openings in community colleges, in institutions like the University of Phoenix or Gateway or Grand Canyon that they're looking for, this an entire circle of an industry within an industry, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we see, you know, a huge number of courses expanding. I mean, on one hand, there's, I think, great fear for what's happening in higher education. On the other hand, there's this great opportunity. We know that courses for adults 50 and over, between 2008 and 2011 went from just 50 courses to over 1,000 courses. You know, and I think there are probably going to be great opportunities for people teaching online courses,
yes,
which require a fair amount of one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen over the last week or two in the news, 14 or so major institutions joining this online free education. And that's that Stanford and MIT and great major universities are prime. That's really just an indication that online education is becoming mainstream.
Now, I want to sure our listeners understand this. The operative word, F-R-E-E, free. Okay, because there'll be those that'll say, well, I can't afford it, and gee, I don't know if I qualify for a tuition waiver, or where's there a tax credit for me, and I just can't, it's too hard for me to go figure out. The word, in this case, major institutions that are going to do this work or are doing this work for free, because it has a ripple effect and swings back into the other programs that they're building and other approaches to tap into. And we're not just talking U.S. domestic, obviously, but online learning has a global reach at the same time and touching undeveloped countries that don't have access to the incredible frontier we have in here in the United States in particular.
Absolutely. Indeed, statistics show that 40% of the users of the free online courses available at United States universities are foreigners who are using it. And so, you know, when I read that statistic, I thought, wow, you know, I would think that U.S. folks in the U.S. would be plundering these free courses. I think that people have been hesitant. They haven't really, you know, known how to use them. Or
they don't even know it's available. That's the other thing. You know, again, you only can access something that you know about. But I also think there might be the feeling of, well, this is just a hook to get me then into the big buck program, right? I mean, there's some underlying agenda I'm concerned about signing up for, and for all I know, it's going to get that much more spam into my inbox, right?
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. And, and one kink they still haven't worked out yet is the issue of credit. Most of these programs don't yet give credit for, I mean, there are certainly pay for credit online programs available, but the ones that we're talking about that are free will eventually find a way to create a fee structure so people can get credit for taking these free courses.
Well, here's the key, though, for anyone who's considering going back to school with all the other things you've got on your plate. If you've never done an online course, what better way than to go test drive if even that style of learning matches your own abilities and needs?
That's absolutely true, and it's a fabulous idea, and it's a good point. And one of the things, of course, that people who do take online courses say is that, unlike when you go to college and you sit in a classroom and you have one shot to get the information, mm-hmm. if you're taking a class online, you can go back to it during the week a couple of times. You don't have to get it all at once. And so there's that advantage. There is the downside, of course, that you're missing the engagement.
Right.
But a lot of the courses that are being developed, from what I understand, you know, they are creating opportunities for people to have one-on-one interface. This isn't so much true of the free courses, but a lot of interface and email relationships with professors and with other students taking the online courses. So,
well, in fact, I would tell you, I think the research will also bear out, is the reality is that these institutions, the for-profit that are offering online education, or even community colleges, part of the revolution that's playing out is that the idea that even if you were in community college, you only went to the campus, took your class, and went home, and what community colleges are finding nationwide is that isn't the case. The students want to take up and have an affinity. They need a computer center there to have resources and have, as you mentioned earlier, mentors or special workshops that they can go to get adjunct work. And the same way with the online programs is, you know, look at the footprint we have here in the Southwest with the University of Phoenix. Here in Southern Arizona, we have 4 campuses. And so these are buildings for an institution that might otherwise people think only in terms of it being online. So there's a good balance that's kind of evolving over time that can allow people that face-to-face cohort element but fit into their lifestyle or their economic need otherwise.
Yeah, I was very excited to learn about the UCLA has now created this Empowered UCLA Extension program in which they're using... they have a comprehensive online education program that offers particularly professional certificates and that's geared to today's job market. And it's all built around the Apple iPad. So, and it's geared particularly for certificates in HR and IT and business and healthcare and nonprofit. Global sustainability, but it's really amazing. I mean, they're making a concerted effort to go after older adult students and bring them into education through this iPad-based online learning. And also, they're like many of the Encore-type programs. They're looking at how to help people who are older want to go back to school, not just tend to want to go back to school and study something, not just something to earn a living, but also to give back.
Absolutely.
In some way.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Bruce Frankel, thank you so very much. I remind our listeners, Bruce's book, a terrific read that basically focuses on 12 individuals who, after age 60, have gone on to do very different things than what they did prior, but circling back and doing that which can really have a higher impact. His book, again, is What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? You can learn more about Bruce's thoughts and writings and progression since writing that book on brucefrankel.com. Thanks so much, Bruce. I'm going to see you in New England this week.
Look forward to it, Sarah. Have a great day.
Thanks for contributing today. Very
good.
Be well. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition.
Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.